Let's do this.
What's up, everyone? This is Press X to Ramble. Press X to Ramble is a podcast where we get to ramble about whatever we want. And today, we are rambling about Marvel's Black Widow. Marvel's Black Widow.
Yes.
If you're listening to this, you're only getting half the experience. To get the full half, because that's weird, go to pressxnumber2start.com/YouTube and watch the YouTube video. Hence, go to YouTube channel. You know, there you go. With that being said, I am your host today, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know? The classic Black Widow spider actually has a companion, the Brown Widow spider. So check it out. We're dangerous.
Now, were they like another Marvel character or something? What's going on there?
No, he's talking about the legitimate Black Widow spider.
Yes, there's a Brown Widow spider.
I've heard spiders are known to domesticate small frogs.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You know what? Oh, that fucking I wish terrifying. I remember about that. That would have been a nice. That'd have been a nice. Did you know? But yes. There we as in scientists has discovered. I think it's a. It's not tarantula. Some spider has domesticated.
Big ass spider that can domesticate amphibians.
Yes. You're my pet now.
I mean. Not that hard. Amphibians aren't notoriously
right. Frog's like, all right, you're not gonna kill me.
Or aggressive creatures.
For the bull. Anyways, we're going down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who else is here?
Jordan, aka JXBot, aka Jordan El Presidente, and if you tune into our regular podcast on video games, you'll find out why. I got a good story to tell.
Ooh, okay. So is that a future episode coming?
It is a future episode. Okay. On what we've been playing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Resident Simulator, obviously. Let's go. And last
you can call it that.
I am Avery Williams. I've been this is a superhero movie Anonymous, am I correct? I'm here to talk about the long period of time I went without a superhero film. It's been over a year with a long time, and I fell off the horse recently. I paid $30 for Disney Plus to watch Black Widow. Don't regret it. At least I don't think I regret it. I don't know.
I regret
the whole thing.
Hey. There's a ton of content on there just for you.
I had Disney Plus beforehand.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. With all that being said, now we can finally give our first spoiler-free opinions and impressions on the movie Black Widow. So, thank you, Avery, for putting this together. Actually, do you want to just take this?
Go first? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
My spoiler-free impressions of Black Widow are... I went into this movie trepidatious because after a year-long drought of Marvel films in general, ages ago in a version of this podcast of a long time ago, Marcus and I sat down and we discussed, at that point, every Marvel movie up to around Endgame, and we put our thoughts out there on the board, so if that episode still exists somewhere in this ether,
it should.
Maybe go find it. But long story short, I love Marvel movies. They're some of my favorite presentations of all time. But I do agree with some of the criticism against Marvel movies in regards to their certain patterns and choices that they make. But I'm okay with that type of a movie because I find enjoyment from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trepidatious about this movie in that I haven't watched something like this in over a year. The cycle of getting a Marvel movie every 3 to 4 months was gone. It was a long drought. Would I go into this movie and would I, quote-unquote, still be drinking the Marvel Kool-Aid, or would I have moved on to the more mature DCEU? That was never going to happen. That was never gonna happen. I legitimately
DCEU
with fiber. There's no way those movies will ever get me unless they burn everything to the ground. Excited for the Batman. Everything else can burn. But long story short, I really enjoyed this movie. I didn't have a surprise. My enjoyment of this movie wasn't a surprise. Mm-hmm. It was just something I was trepidatious about. I went in, I watched it, I enjoyed all the performances. The strength of this movie are the performances. I will say that. I have some criticism and points of content with sort of the structural construction of this movie, which is I think its greatest disservice. But in terms of it being a solid action movie, it is it in spades, filled with a Marvel topping that just elevates it to a level where I'm like, I watched this movie twice. Like, that was the cool thing about having it on Disney Plus. I watched it the first time. I'm like, this is great. So I'm watching it on a bigger TV. Like, oh, this is even better.
Yeah.
Because I think this movie suffers the most from, like, if you can watch this movie in a theater, I'd say go see it in the theater.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. My TV's like, I don't know, like 60 inch, I think. And that was great. But there was points where I was just like, this would definitely hit a lot harder if this was like on a big movie screen theater with the surround sound. But Jordan, what's your take on this, spoiler free?
Some of the same sentiments. I mean, I thought this movie was fine, if I were to sum it up in one word. I mean, it kind of hit all the same story beats that Marvel movies typically. Actually, Disney movies in general, you know, like family, Wolf Pup, you know, sense of belonging, I guess. I don't know. Like, the story felt very familiar, and we're like in the three dozen Marvel films now, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So it's like, you know, you can tell that they're comfortable with a specific formula. They have a budget to bring spectacle and pizzazz to their story. You know, like, there were some pretty cool some pretty interesting segments and engaging segments. But I'll be honest, you know, I did get this through Disney Plus, and halfway through it, my neighbor invited me over for some drinks. So, like, kind of like, oh, well, I'll watch this tomorrow. So I kind of like have a split movie watch right now, and I kind of had like to rewatch some things, like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, one of those situations. But there were some standout characters, you know, like, I'm going to talk a lot about the Red Guardian and you know, how he was written as compared to everyone else. And did it meet my expectations? I found some enjoyment in the Thor films, you know, even though they were empirically terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they were bad, but at the same time, like, every Marvel movie has its own little charm to it, is the best way I can put it. Like, they're just movie-ass movies.
Right.
That's the best way I can play it.
You can hear my thoughts on the Thor films on that podcast that may or may not exist. I'm not going to reiterate it. I'm just going to keep it moving.
And in terms of, like, the theater experience, yeah, I'm rocking the 4K 65, but I do have a sound. I do have a surround sound, so... Like, when you do pump with that bass, you pump with the, you know, the subwoofer and all that, you will get, like, those big, punchy moments.
Yeah.
But it's nothing compared to an IMAX, you know. Like, you do as best you can, but not going to hack it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I floated the idea of getting a surround sound, and Shreen was not
for a not brand happy. New baby?
Right now, this was before, but she was just wasn't excited about the idea of listening to Gundam and surround sound. I was like,
oh, okay. I have to say, like, surround sound be like, it's like a good one's like 600, 700. That's not terrible.
I agree with her on that. She made a hard decision.
Come on, you can hear child soldiers and Dolby surround sound, Dolby digital, whatever the fuck they call it, however they're marketing this shit.
Speaking of child soldiers, I came into this, to be completely honest, I was going to skip this movie. I just didn't see any value in a Black Widow movie, especially now, other than the fact that, oh, they're obviously setting this up for something in the future. So going into this, even seeing that it was going to be $30, just like... All right. I think the only
specifically for you, DJ, it was you watching Black Widow was going to be $30 anyway because it was you and your wife.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. So like, it was one of those things where it's just like, all right. And I finally settled on like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna see it after reading something saying that the end credits of Black Widow is like really important for the story of Marvel going forward or whatever. And I was like, really? All right, that's enough.
We'll talk about that later.
So I was just like, all right, that's good enough for me. So I convinced I just told Shireen, like, hey, we're gonna watch Black Widow. She's like, with who? Like Scarlett Johansson. She jumped off or she fell off the thing. She's like, oh, her. Okay. I was like, yeah, all right, cool. And that was pretty much the conversation about watching this movie. I was pleasantly surprised with this movie, mainly because my expectations were so low. Every turn of this movie, I was like, this, and also not seeing a Marvel movie for so long, it's like, this is a Marvel movie? And then just how it started, it was just like, this is a Marvel movie?
The idea of what Marvel work is now has changed dramatically in a world that's post-WandaVision, post-Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and in the midst of Loki. So it's even more of a, oh, this is a Marvel movie now.
Right, exactly. And like throughout most of that movie, probably until the endish point, I was constantly saying, this is a Marvel movie. But like, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed all of the characters. Like, it was one of those things where you see the Red Guardian, you see that whole family dynamic, and you're kind of just like, I mean, obviously this isn't that important because we didn't hear about any of this up until now for this movie. So like, really, how important is it? But then watching the movie, it's like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of things happening here. And yeah, I just had a really good time with the movie. Like, it's one of those things where I finished a movie and I was like, I don't really have any major like critiques on it. It was just an enjoyable thing to do. So
I think to that end, then it completed its task, which I think
it completed its task.
Which is ultimately what we
like
want.
Like a taskmaster.
We'll talk about that.
we'll talk about characters and stuff. Yeah. But speaking of which, since we have finished our spoiler-free review, I guess.
Remarks.
Yes. Real quick. We all generally liked it, right?
Yeah.
We would all.
I mean, it was fine.
Oh, okay. It was between fine and like.
I mean, like, I chose having some drinks next door than finishing it. I mean, I clearly wasn't engaged. I was like, yeah, let me just chill out real quick and watch this Saturday morning.
I mean, to that point in your engagement, I think that might be a symptom of the method in which you watched it less than the film itself. I think one of the strengths of a movie theater experience is that this is the focus of what you're doing.
Yeah, you can't really go out and get drinks. Yeah. Well, you could, but
you could.
Well,
I mean, I guess you could just leave, right?
You could just leave.
The movie wasn't terrible enough for me to just turn it off and not turn it back on.
Right,
but
it wasn't
engaging enough for me. So like, there are movies that have released, like, you know, Mortal Kombat. We already had that conversation where I glued my ass there and enjoyed the whole thing. I could have, you know, played some more video games or, you know, went to a bar. But, you know, I think right after the first act, it was like, all right, let me just take a break right quick.
Black Widow should look at Jordan not turning it off and play a Game Pass game as a badge of honor.
You know what? You won. If that had happened. But yeah.
All right. With that being said, now let's talk about all the spoily little details of this movie. Avery, you go.
Okay. So I generally... One of the conversations I had in our Discord when we were all in individual states of watching this movie, aka Marcus and our friend Josiah seeing it in theaters in, I believe, LA, DJ, myself, and Jordan all watching it through Disney Plus, and Sean doing his best to just not pay for this movie, and then downloading like a 720p stream of it eventually.
Having to ask us, wait, does it start with kids?
Like, then fucked him over by mentioning the movie Red Sparrow after the fact. Like, oh damn!
I'm pretty sure whatever cracked Fire TV stick Sean is using is immune to all viruses because it's encountered all viruses.
Long story short, I just gave Sean my Disney Plus. Like, I would just fuck it. Like,
okay.
Yeah, just it's unlocked there. Watch it. Here's a profile for you to use. Have at it. Just stop fucking doing this insane thing. But no, so one of the companies we had, because one of the big things that Sean mentioned is that, hey, I don't understand why we're getting this movie now.
Yeah. Well, I think he meant that, like, it should have happened sooner.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, it was wrapped up into the single thought, why are we getting this movie now? Right. And it's very complex in the politics of Marvel Studios as an entertainment brand. To make a long story short, Marvel Comics is owned by a rich Republican Donald Trump supporter named Ike Perlmutter. It's something I have to deal with as someone who buys Marvel Comics. It's just something we have to deal with. But my Ike is very much of the X character won't sell because of X social issues surrounding that character, aka this character is a woman. We can't sell with this character. This character is black. It's not going to sell with this character. While a lot of Marvel, the early Marvel movies, especially after Phase 1, were sort of criticized by the white man's club that it existed in, and that was a result of his regime just stifling everything to like a stranglehold. Kevin Feige, who eventually became the big dick swinging at Marvel, eventually went to Disney over Ike's head because Disney was over Ike at that point and said, hey, I don't want to be under him anymore. So they ripped Marvel Studios away from actual Marvel Comics and made it its own entertainment brand within Disney. So Kevin got all full control, and that's when we started seeing Captain Marvel. That's when we started seeing Black Panther. That's when we started seeing a greater initiative in regards to diversity at Marvel, because Kevin in Infinite Wisdom was like, I want to tell cool stories with this large painting of comics, of these characters. We have all these things we can do. Let's start doing these things, regardless of things. And like, if we can get Guardians of the Galaxy to sell, we can fundamentally get anything to sell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were never,
I did not know that.
Yeah, so we were never going to get a Black Widow movie up until this phase. Like, it was just never going to happen, no matter how popular she was back in the day, and that was arguable, and how much she represented for representation. We were never going to get that movie.
Okay. For those asking, like, why are we getting it now, it may also be because of where the actual movie sets in terms of the timeline, like, between Civil War and Infinity War. Like, that might be confusing to some people. It's like, yo, I thought this already died. Like, why didn't we get later? I mean, you could have put this right after Civil War if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could have like, took out, like, you know, some spoilery.
Well, that's another issue I have with it. This is one. Okay, so all of that, I said, wrapped up this one idea. Why are we getting it now? One of the, I think, this movie's biggest constructual sins is it exists to explain shit for other shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, well, kind of like one thing.
Like, there's like not as nearly a single scene or action in this movie that isn't a critique on the Black Widow character, or supposed to be an explanation for another part of her character, or supposed to set up something for later on, except for one thing, which I think it does really bad and doesn't make any sense. Like, the jacket from she wore in Infinity War.
Yeah, you saw her hair dye too, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The hair dye,
the hair dye worked in the context of what the vest. Mm. But the vest itself being a weird plot point, and the Yelena character being all into it, it's such a bizarre thing that I'm like,
I like pockets. They make they replace the store on mini vodkas.
Why are we doing this?
I liked Yelena. Was it Yelena, right? Yelena?
Yelena.
How you pronounce that? Yelena. Okay. I like Yelena. I like Jesus Christ. I liked when she was fixated on the vest, because she made a point that, like, you know, up until this point, she's never been able to buy her own thing. So for her, it had value. And then her giving it to Natasha, it was more so just like a sentimental thing. At no point in my mind, I was like, that's the vest that she had in Endgame. It was just like, all right, this is a vest that she's gonna
and then
cherish.
to that point, I think it would have been a more elegant solution if we wanted to commit that by just bringing up the vest once and then never talking about it till Yelena has to give it back to her. Or even yet, when Yelena gives her the vest, make it because your current outfit is messed up in a way that you might need to wear this vest in some point. Like, that kind of a thing for why she would have it. But I think the way they constructed that scene in particular, and it stands out the most in my issue with the construction of this movie, is that. Another thing this movie has to explain is, like, oh, so this is why she... I want to point out before I start going to shit I dislike about this movie, I like this movie. I just had some constructional interest, like, things that bother me about it, which should be, like, two viewings that crystallize.
Okay.
But in regards to that, what else? I think the story, back to that original point, why does this take place? Why are we getting this now? Another general issue is, and I've heard this repeated multiple times, is because we know this movie comes in a world that's pre-Thanos, pretty much every aspect of this movie's plot feels weirdly inconsequential.
Yeah, in terms of the bad guy having the power, and it's just we know.
His grand plan would have been instantly invalidated the minute the snap happened.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, this guy who has no abilities, the only people who can't kill him is Black Widow, and his only defense is a bunch of regular people.
Pretty much.
It's like,
and also he has a pretty sick cologne.
As a threat for individually Black Widow, he works. But I think the movie does a disservice by giving him like an interesting, oh, he worked for the Red Room, they work for the Russians, oh, it's a Russian plot. And then making a switch where like, nah, this character is above everything else. And he's manipulated everything from the background. He's a world threat. And I'm like, oh, we didn't need this. Like, the strength of this movie is in its interesting family story, and the minute it ramps up to being an MCU threat, it sort of loses that power.
I will say, though, for me, I think because I knew where this stood in the general MCU timeline, I didn't mind, because I was kind of wondering, like, all right, well, who's going to be the actual, like, villain of this movie? So that the fact that it was him, and it was just like, yeah, like, this is my plan. This is what I sat down on my coffee table and wrote out and said, this is how I'm going to rule the world. He has no idea what's going to happen in the future, but to him, he thinks this is what I need to do. So, like, for me, it was just, fine, whatever. This is your thing, guy. We know that it's not going to come to fruition, and you're going to die in some way because there's not going to be a Black Widow 2, so you're not even
involved anymore.
Well, Marvel still has...
Well, with Natasha.
A villain problem. You know, like, both villains in this film weren't any level compelling. You know, of course, we need, like, a post-Eric Killmonger, post-Thanos, you know, Marvel viewership that we have right now. And it's like, as long as they keep on having this villain problem, they're going to fall into the same trap of, well, the heroes in these funny moments were great, or this one action scene was great, but really going to like have that savory feeling that's going to keep me engaged and not wanting to go into the other room and play video games.
In regards to Marvel's villain problem, this movie does a good... Like, this movie has learned from a lot of the sins of the Marvel movies, but at the same time doubling down on the other issue they've had when it comes to villains. Like, one of the reasons Marvel has such an issue with villains is because the focus of the movie is never the villain, it's always the hero, and we're always focusing on the hero. So to waste time on developing their villains, it would take away from what they're accomplishing with the hero. This is a great example of... Well, this is a Black Widow movie. The movie's kind of not about Natasha, and it puts a lot of work into introducing and building up a bunch of other characters who, as of now, I'm interested in seeing going forward, to the detriment of its villains. One of them works as a mid-level, no-name bad guy who we hate because he's a misogynist. Cool. The other one, I think, is, and we'll talk about that character more when we talk about the characters themselves, but I think he's a poor attempt at adapting a certain character. But they don't make the mistake that they made a lot in the early Marvel movies where, oh, we just got rid of him. This character still exists.
Yeah.
this character, they can still do things with this character, and we can get a version of this character that we actually know and like, and will have the, because like they already built in interesting pathos into this character.
That character is at the same bar that White Vision's at, just chilling, drinking a cocktail.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're talking about, Jordan, in regards to this movie also suffering from the trap of its villain issue. But I think I do think it's more to the attempt to build its main cast rather than focus on it's the nature of this movie as a spy thriller with hero characters, where the minute we start watching its villains monologue about all their everything they're attempting to do, the minute we know about their villains from Act One and everything their villains plan to do, it loses a little bit of the intrigue of what it's supposed to be.
This was the same shit in fucking Winter Soldier. Michael Douglas was like, I'm going to kill all the important people and take over the world.
Yes, it is. It is nearly...
This is the same thing.
Yes, yes. Even with a floating thing in the sky falling. You're not wrong. Oh my god.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have such a like spotty memory when it comes to Civil War. That was Civil War, right? No,
that was Winter Soldier.
Instead of, you know, Michael Douglas using, you know, cannons from the sky, this dude's using Instagram influencers, which is more effective.
I did want to mention, since we're kind of on to the story, as I said in the spoiler-free part, I was kind of shocked at the points of the movie when it got really dark, and I was like, this is a Marvel movie? Like, yeah. The beginning with all the child soldier stuff.
Was not just even
like,
child soldiers, little girls.
Yes, slaves. Yes.
Like they were in they were in a shipping container.
Yeah.
Like that is a very specific
exactly
image that they uttered in that.
Like that was okay.
Does it feel crazy that the 90s are now like to this generation the fucking 70s and 80s? Dude, the way they treat the 90s now.
I'm feasting on it, finally. I'm so tired of people being like, oh man, the 80s. Oh man, the 70s. Oh man, the 60s. Yeah. Fuck y'all. The 90s, baby.
Just waiting for them to go buy a blockbuster.
The minute it becomes the 2000s, I'm just going to be like, oh fuck. I'm
I might as well be dead.
That's like 2 years from now. Watch out.
I know.
Oh man.
Do you remember MySpace? Shut up right now.
Yeah, I think to the credit of the director of this movie, Kate Shortland, like, despite all the superhero bullshit that's in this movie, I think I'm kind of excited for what Marvel's going to do going forward in Phase 4, because of, like, they let this indie director really make interesting dramatic choices in this movie that weren't just in service of superhero action. That's really interesting. Right. Like, this movie went into, like you said, the movie starts kind of happy, interesting, and funny, then goes to a pretty interesting action sequence, then gets immediately dark, and it doesn't really, even when it becomes Marvel light, ha ha ha, there's always this undercurrent of, oh, this is really fucked up and dark.
Yeah. Like, while watching the movie, like, I guess the first half of the movie, I was kind of on edge, just like, are they actually going to show what happens in the Red Room? Like, are they going to do that in a Marvel movie?
they just alluded to it. Yeah, a little surgery stuff, and the blanket lifting up. And like,
they also kind of retcon things
a little bit.
Because, like, it's sort of implied that Natasha, like, in Age of Ultron, like, when they first give us our hint of the Red Room, it's sort of shown that the initiation to the Widow, the hysterectomy that Josh Whedon put into that movie and then poorly wrapped around the love story, that it sort of happened when she was an adult as like her graduation. But here it sort of implied that it happened much younger to her, to the point where she was aware enough of it as someone who was only like maybe nine or 10 at the time. Probably, no, how old is that girl? She has to be like 11 max. That it was going to happen to her in a little shit. It's an interesting thing, but it's not even a like point of like contention. It's just an interesting choice to change some things because we still.
I guess in my mind, I I just kind of assume that the hysterectomy happened when they were older. Like I didn't think about age at all. I just kind of assumed like, oh yeah, it's probably when they were older. Like, because I mean, at that point, that would be when they'd be sexually active. So it would just be.
I don't know enough about female physiology to know. Like, because I know with male physiology, our reproductive organs are instrumental in our development. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing with women. So I'm probably a little bit off in this reading of this section, but it was an interesting thought I had.
I mean, yeah, I doubt she was like 30 years old or something, but like it's probably in between like teen to like adulthood or whatever. But yeah, like even the okay. So Elena, what's the name of the actress? Florence
Pugh.
Pugh. Okay. Oh, by the way, before I forget, Marcus said he loved the movie and he wants Florence Pugh in everything. So there's that. Marcus, I did it for you. Like and subscribe.
You. I mean, how are we feeling about English accent speakers, right? Or English speakers doing Russian accents? So that was the majority of this cast was like, hey, I'm no done here. I'll do Black Widow turn on cameras. But let's get on.
I think that's a good segue to us talking about the characters in it, I think. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting, because I know Scarlett Johansson, like, as someone who reads comics, Black Widow has a Russian accent. She's always had a Russian accent. She's always had a Russian accent in my head.
But Scarlett Johansson's like, no.
Scarlett Johansson showed up in Avengers, and that specific, in Search of an Iron Man 2, didn't have an accent. That made sense. Then by the time of Avengers, she just didn't have an accent. I'm like, oh, I guess this is what we're going for Black Widow. And then you meet the rest of her family, all have accents of varying strength and I actually fundamentally think they all did a very good job. And I think outside of David Harbour, both Florence Pugh and Melina, the actress who plays Melina, I need to actually look this up. It's annoying me.
Why you're doing that?
Rachel Weisz.
Okay, there you go.
Rachel Weisz are British speakers.
Yeah.
So it's not just I'm going American to Russian, I'm going English to Russian. So they worked well, in contrast to a character we should talk about in detail, Dracov, who Ray Winston can't do a Russian accent to save his life. He's got like the thickest British accent that just bleeds through that whatever he's attempting to do.
So here's my ignorant self, because I was like, the actor that played Russian guard, the Red Guardian.
Yes.
I knew he was American. He's American, right?
Yeah. David Harbour.
Yes. And so him, I was like, oh, he's really trying for the Russian accent. Everyone else, I was like, I guess they're Russian. Like, I was like, all right. Yeah, cool. But like, I did look up Florence Pugh, and I saw that she was British, and I was like, wow, wait, is that... I'm not even going to question it, because I'm not English, and I don't know what their sensitivity is to that over there, so, alright, cool.
Well, I think it'd be theoretically... I think due to the way the European Union, even though I think Russia's not even in the European Union, but the way that fucking whole part of the country world works, it's more... regional, I guess. It's sort of like a person like from up, like it's sort of like us doing a southern accent or a
interesting, okay,
to them, where it's like this is something that they might be hearing more often because of the environment that they live in. Yeah. I know the times that I was in the UK, I heard a lot of people with very Eastern Bloc accents.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that works. So are we talking about the characters now?
Yeah,
about the characters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Taskmaster.
Okay. I think what they did was fine. I don't think they utilized that character and what it could do well. And I'm a little salty because Taskmaster is legitimately one of my favorite comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
And ignoring the fact that they super dumbed down his look to work in the MCU, the just not feeling like Taskmaster, just
they gave him a hoodie.
No pirate boots, no fucking skeleton skull mask.
Okay, so since he's one of your favorite characters, explain to me what his actual, like, ability is. Because I'm at a loss of, like, what was... I mean, I understood what was going on, but, like, just in terms of how... what they pulled and what they, like, pieced together from the actual Taskmaster. Like, so what's Taskmaster's, like, actual ability?
I think the movie did an okay job telling us what that ability was, which okay. was he watches people and then mimics their abilities. They just didn't do a good enough job illustrating it or showing us that in scenes. For I think in the comics, Taskmaster is a dude named Anthony Masters. Yeah, I know it's dumb. He's a character who ultimately doesn't really have a real origin because it changes whenever people like decide to reinvent this character. His most recent origin is that he was a SHIELD agent who took a serum that gave him those powers. The movie doesn't really talk about how they got Taskmaster got those abilities so much as it was some sort of after effect of whatever happened to the character.
No. What I understood was she was under the brainwashing effect, and the mother scientist made it very clear that you can tell that person to do whatever you want. So what Taskmaster was told to do was to copy these moves.
I would agree with that if the Dracov character didn't eventually go up to Natasha and while he was explaining the origin of Taskmaster say she's good at copying things, which made it seem like it was something that was other than the brainwashing that was going on.
Yeah.
But to my issue with the demonstration of the abilities, nothing was cooler than that seeing that character do this and being like, oh snap, Black Panther. Or like when that first fight scene when they get a grappling hook and swing, it's like, oh, see, this is clearly Spider-Man. Then
I missed that.
Well, he throws the shield, like, oh, this is Captain America. There's absolutely no reaction from Natasha at any point to illustrate that she's recognizing this is the thing, other than when he does the flip and mirrors her.
So did you catch the Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
When the knife playing, she dropped the knife. I was like, oh my god!
I'm just saying that Taskmaster would have no footage of that. There'd be
that's
no footage of that.
That's also true.
And like the fights with Taskmaster were few and far between. That like we didn't get those moments to the point when like the final fight happened with this character, which I'm glad they went that route. I think it was a more interesting thing than what most superhero movies would go. It was like, oh no, she has to beat them. But I don't feel like they utilized that aspect of that character. Well,
and it made, I agree. I wanted to see more Taskmaster as well.
And like, the character existed as a, like, to Jordan's point earlier, as a Winter Soldier XP, like, seem even worse in comparison.
Wait, as a Winter Soldier
XP, which is like, if this movie is Winter Soldier, the movie, then the Winter Soldier in that movie would be in comparison to Taskmaster as well in this movie.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That's Jordan,
I thought, I mean, nothing against Taskmaster fans, nothing against all of that, but when you outside looking into the Marvel film, Taskmaster's not the best name for a villain. I'm like, what's the most fucking let me do? Gonna let me make me fucking do my laundry, make me fucking put away the dishes? Black Widow, you must replant your urn. Or some shit like that. I don't know. But no, not that much else needs to be said because, you know, the big reveal associated with them was confusing because I had to think about who the fuck was that? You know, like I knew I had some familiarity with Taskmaster, like, you know, who's been clearly Marvel has this propensity to introduce characters in other forms of media and then bring them in because, you know, Taskmaster was in the Avengers game and, you know, been sprinkled on little animated stuff over time. And, like, at least in terms of this movie's original marketing, I thought they were going to lean into that, you know, this is, you know, call back to this film, this call back to that film, but, you know, editing is a big part of these, and they might have, you know, cut off some exposition associated with the gravity of their skill.
Yeah.
You know, this is one just... this small quality of life things. But was Taskmaster terrible? No, but could Taskmaster have been scarier like the Winter Soldier was? Yeah. The Winter Soldier was scary. Winter Soldier still is scary.
Yeah, I think that first scene of Taskmaster is frightening.
Strong white man.
But every scene after that, when they're running through a street in a tank, copying the scene from Uncharted 4 with Nate and his brother on a bike, when they're copying that scene, I'm like, this character's lost all of the fear.
So I totally agree with what you guys are saying in terms of Taskmaster didn't really have the pizzazz that you would want to see from, you know, a villain of that quote unquote caliber. But even though it was spoiled for me, it was still so dope because I am all about controls. When Taskmaster hit the Hawkeye bow and shot the arrow and it bounced off the ground into the bottom of the car and blew out that car's back.
So to that scene, did he have to do that? Could he just shot the car? Like, was the rear reinforced?
That's the interesting thing about that scene. That scene is objectively cool. That being said, as someone who's a Hawkeye fan, and not specifically the MCU fan, but the character of Hawkeye, so I paid big attention to the MCU version. I have never seen him bounce an arrow off of anything.
Yeah, you just kind of shoot it.
Well, that's Taskmaster, baby.
Like, what would have been a Hawkeye thing is him not looking and firing. That's something Hawkeye would have done.
And it threads four cars and hits the back of the head.
And his helmet are like sound effects from Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Like, din, din. And you're programmed to be super excited when they do something cool. Like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh shit, I'm really cool.
Hitting combos.
I'm Taskmaster.
The one thing that I found very interesting about Taskmaster was the digital display that was in the helmet. I didn't necessarily understand it because at first I thought, oh, Taskmaster is just a robot or something because it's that's how, or no, I'm sorry. At first I thought Taskmaster was a recycled Age of Ultron, one of those robots.
The Ultron drones?
Yeah. I thought it was a recycled one of those. So I was just like, oh crap, like he got his hands on one of them. And he like figured out the tech to get that going.
Yeah, that's the issue with this version's design and them not being explicitly clear about what he can do and what they can do and what they can and how they do it. Because when they first showed him and they're like they loaded that information into the back of his helmet, I'm like, "Oh, I guess this is how he like they're like it's like a computer program and he's just downloading shit into the back of their brain."
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah.
And they're like, it's unclear.
And then, when his name? Jerkoff.
Jerkoff.
Yeah. What he said, like, I had to put a chip in the back of my daughter's neck. I'm like, but was that to save her, or did you want to set her up? Like, how was that saving her? I like that part. I didn't understand.
So let's talk about the Dracov character, and I think he works for what the type of villain they want him to be, which is a misogynist that you dislike. Other than that, he's a totally forgettable character who's not even as good in the grand scheme of like bureaucratic Marvel white male villains of a certain age. He's not even at Robert Redford's level. Like, this is a character who's entirely forgettable. And
yeah, Robert Redford, you know, he was like, I'm about these Nazis. You can be whatever race or gender you want, but if you're Nazi, you're on my side. This guy is a misogynist, not Robert Redford.
Yeah, I totally agree. I got nothing to say about Jerkoff. Like, his character was serviceable just because he needed to be Jerkoff, and that explained the rest of the movie.
Even design wise, it was hand over fist. It was like, all right, this is Harvey Weinstein. You guys are. The whole ending plot was in the centerfold of that.
If I look at him from the lens of Harvey Weinstein, I think he actually worked a lot better than what I was giving him credit for. But otherwise, he's okay, I guess. He's fine.
You looked at him, you could tell his breath smelled of burnt coffee. Yes, burnt coffee.
Burnt vodka.
Burnt vodka. Yes, I have my vodka.
All right, so was it Melina and the Red Guardian?
Okay, so those are Natasha's parents,
yes,
played by David Harbour and Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz of The Mummy fame, David Harbour of Stranger Things fame. Mm-hmm. First things first, when David Harbour showed up in the beginning of this movie looking like Hopper, and it was the mid-90s, I'm like, oh, this is good. This is good. I'm into this. Mm-hmm. I talked about the family being the strongest part of this film. These two are fucking fantastic. I love every aspect of these two characters. They're weird. Like, I love that they are a blatant ripoff of the Americans, but like it works so well. Like the weird, bizarre sexual tension of two people who are assigned to be with each other, and like there's no real romance between them, but just the hey man.
You're right.
I've been in prison a long time. You're so,
I mean,
so
you're telling me that your parents didn't teach you how to prep a plane for takeoff in case of emergency,
right?
A Cessna, single as a two propeller Cessna.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, like these two were so hilarious, and I think the movie did a great job of showing how funny they could be, but also how dark they could be. Like when he was when Red Guardian was in the prison arm wrestling people, I was like, he's gonna break someone's hand. And then when the big guy sat down and started talking shit, it's just like, not looking good. Snap the guy's wrist. I knew it. I called it. I saw it coming. Then even like, on the other side with go ahead.
No, you're about to talk about Mulan and the pig, right?
Yeah. Even like that whole scene was just like, yikes. Yo, like,
yeah, I was like, this character might be evil after saying that. And I was like, yeah.
That's the thing, they are evil. They were Russian spies sent to America to dismantle our way of life when we were all children. Like, thankfully I didn't live in Ohio, but those could have been my neighborhood that they were just living in cyber like violence in. Yeah, like
they wouldn't pull that shit in PG County.
The layers of those characters are so interesting in that they are unequivocally bad parents. Like, after everything that went through in their lives, the fact that both of them, when the job was done, maybe abandoned both their daughters. But like, when you look at those two characters as they've grown and how they, like, when you look at when they finally get all in the same room again, it's like, oh no. Despite everything, there was a bond formed with these two characters. And like, well, both of them, especially David Harbour's character, are just really bad because they never really got the chance to do the job. They want to be this for those two characters. And it's like, they just need to get out of their own ass and doing it. Like, David Harbour, like, it's like, there's moments of honesty with those two characters that kind of make me tear up when I think about it. Mm-hmm. It's like when he's sending his daughters to the Red Room and he's just like, my girls, the strongest girls in the world. I'm like, he means it. Like, especially after you watch the movie, like, he means what he said there. It's just, he didn't care because it wasn't his job.
And then even like to cement that, like during their reunion between him and the two girls, he was like, you two have killed so many people and I'm so proud. And it's just like, I see. I feel how you can be proud, but like, listen to what you're saying.
Yeah, for me, Red Guardian stole the show. I mean, I just love goobers. I love hero goobers, like Fat Thor.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, because like, you know, his heart's in the right place. He's fucking up, but he's trying his best. And
they're both trying their best.
Yeah,
the actor that played him, was his comedic timing was spot on in terms the Captain America talk about me, like, ooh, you know, like super excited about stupid shit.
He's
you know,
playing.
And he was like trying to the story about him, his dad peeing on him or something like that. Like, no, this is very important. Listen. And she's like, no, I don't want to hear this shit.
He's playing like it's so funny to watch season 3 of Stranger Things, which is all about the Russians, and then see this version of this character. And I'm like, he's clearly just playing Russian Hopper at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just bad at being a dad, but trying, being dumb, and he just punches everything. It's fucking great.
Yelena, you're 11. You're 11 to me. Oh my gosh. All right, let's talk about the Black Widow. Okay, so Black Widow, just Natasha, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, she was good. I
if you're asking I, what were her actions in Infinity War? I mean,
Okay, so this is one of the points, another point of contention I brought up earlier about the plot. I think this movie's biggest disservice, especially since it was really just pulling individual elements of her character from a bunch of other movies and trying to coalesce a plot around it. I think this movie's biggest disservice is her death at the end of Infinity War feel more poignant.
Not at all. Wait,
well, Infinity War Endgame.
Endgame. It doesn't. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I wrote that bad in the script. My bad. Doesn't make it feel more poignant.
Yeah. Her, like, just like, because we still only have bits and pieces of her. Well, at least more context of what happened in Budapest and why she was there, you know, with Hawkeye. But in terms of, like, the moment she was like, yo, fuck this. I'm not going to let you kill yourself. You have your family with Hawkeye. The experience wasn't there.
It makes things even worse because now we know that she has a full family who are alive at this point, and we don't know what happened to them with the snap.
If you play Endgame back again, you know, if you turn it real loud, you hear her say, "Make sure to do good in Kate Bishop, the TV show that comes on Disney Plus in 2 years."
it's one of the unfortunate things. Like if one of her parents had like made a faithful sacrifice, like if the Red Guardian had his ultimate, like it probably should have done it. I thought that was about to happen.
I thought that was about to happen too.
Yeah, when their plane was crashing, I thought they were like going to ram their plane into Dracov, and that's how it was going to end instead of the. Other ways his plane gets messed up. But like, if those characters had killed themselves in the defense of family and sort of instilled to Natasha how important family was, then I think her choice at the end of mid Endgame would have made more sense because she would have been like, "I'm not going to let you do what they did to me because I know how important family is." And I think that would have worked more. It just feels like I feel like they could have done more with that aspect of the film.
I'm paying attention. There's just a fly flying around right now. And my predator instincts is focusing on the fly.
I remembered my mind at the end of this. I was like, wow, look at all of these non-bulletproof people not get shot at by guns. Sometimes I was like, just gotta shoot at them. Like, they're not super. They're gonna dodge that shit.
Well, it's like even funnier because they point out that, oh yeah, you're not bulletproof. You have to take an ibuprofen after every fight. You're not Thor. And then like, she gets hurt a lot in this movie. Like when Captain America, the Captain America movie, I'm just, oh yeah, Super Soldier Serum. He's super tough. But she like, remember the type in part in Civil War where he falls out of that African hospital and like hits everything on the way
African
down?
Hospital, which is super high.
It happens to her worse in this movie, and she lands on her feet, and I'm like, wow, that is a choice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't necessarily like that too much. It was very funny about power scaling in this movie, and it's one of the things where I was like, all right, that's strange, but also, she's dead, I don't know.
It's one of those things where, to the point of Natasha and her role in this movie, I think this was this movie ultimately isn't about the character of Natasha, and so to a certain extent, it does a disservice to her character by not focusing entirely on her. That being said, the work she does in this movie is, to quote Jordan, it's fine. Like, it's not... Right. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, when she's with the Yelena character, it reminds me of why I really like this character, because she used to be generally the straight man in the room with the Avengers, so it's her playing the straight man to a bunch of other characters, and that makes her, I guess, shine comedically even better. Like, when she's at the dinner with her family, I felt a fly at that time, she's at the dinner with her family, and Milena's like, "Don't slouch, you're gonna back hunch," and her dad's like, "Up, up, up," and she's like, "What the fuck are we doing here? This is why I like Natasha. She's no nonsense character who wants to get on the task, who has this weird, snarky kind of thing that she uses to dismantle people who aren't ready for it. And like, I think they don't do enough of that.
To the dinner scene, that's the Disney comedic scenes that give a little bit of pizzazz to these films.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Her friend.
Okay.
Her friend's own friend.
Okay. I'm not, that character is not a Marvel character that I could tell from watching this film. So
okay.
I kind of forgot that he existed until I needed him to come into the plot to just make sure things happened. Like, I think he plays that role, like, he plays that role well. He's relatively funny and charming in those scenes. And it's harmless in the greater context of this movie and everything. So, like, I have nothing really much to say other than this character probably could have been an actual character that we know and care about if with the amount of weight and screen time that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to show up in another Disney show, I guess? You know, like Armor Wars or something? You know, like, is that the purpose of them?
If he does, then I think there's some merit to casting a good actor and putting time and giving him so much screen time in this film. But if I don't know, this is one of those roles where I'm like, this either could have been another character that we already know, or you could have actually reached into the vault of Marvel and pulled out a character who had a little bit of name cachet. So even if this character wasn't going to be important, I, as the Marvel fan, would be like, oh, this is that character.
Oh, wait, but wait. Yelena never saw him, right? They never had any contact.
Well, that's not true. He set up Yelena in the Budapest house.
Yeah, so we might see him in Hawkeye then. But awesome. She could possibly.
She doesn't need him anymore because she's now working with another party.
Never mind. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay. The Black Widows. The only thing I have to say about this was that it was probably one of the darkest scenes of any Marvel movie I can think of to date, with the one of the Black Widows just on the ground with her leg broken.
Another dark scene where, like, she's like, oh, another interesting aspect of reaffirming the Black Widow's role in this franchise as a hero is that when she and Yelena are running and that girl falls, her first instinct is, I'm trying to save your life, even though there's a woman who's just trying to murder you. Let's ignore the fact that the two of them are running away from one woman.
You're not wrong. And then, like, so for me, at that point, we were still trying to figure out, like, exactly what's going on, like, what kind of connection do they have with Jerkoff. And when it switched over to him and you see the fact that he could tell that she broke her leg, like a clean bone break, and it to me, it looked like he was pressing a button for the suit to do something to the leg. But it, obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was a kill. It was a kill button. Like, you're no longer used to me, die, right?
That's why. Oh, is that her, what right? that? I don't know.
That's what it was. Yeah, he made her kill herself. Which I think, I think to that point, I think if she just, like, instead of shooting herself in the head with an imaginary energy weapon, which we still know the exact details of.
Yeah.
If she, like, asphyxiated and just choked on air like that pig did, it would have made that scene make more sense later on. And so it's like weird torture.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
No, like it seems like I thought we were going to get a reveal that the technology they're using to mind control people is carried off of the sphere or whatever, the mind gem. Like they were able to capture some properties of it and then say, okay, we repurposed it for mind control. I thought that reveal was about to come in. If that was implied, because they're fucking around with Hydra, right? Or what?
It's back to this movie's plot, which we didn't actually really go much in detail to. The movie's plot is Natasha on the run, running into her sister and being caught up in a plot to take down the Red Room, who has repurposed technology from Natasha's youth to mind control people with a chemical compound. Because I didn't.
That technology was taken from S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was taken from S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. took technology from Hydra.
Well, it was Hydra at the time.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. 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 You're right. You're right. Yeah.
It was Hydra at the time. But when they showed the canisters and they were clearly a chemical component, I was like, that idea kind of went out of my mind. It was just like a mind control based on that thing, especially since S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't really have the staff for very long to repurpose any of the tech from it.
Mm.
Well, Hydra had it for a while, but even Hydra didn't, especially after the event of WandaVision, even Hydra didn't really give Wanda her mind control powers.
That's also true.
It's interesting. I think we can move on from the Widows. I just wanted to bring them up because I think they're another really underutilized aspect of this movie, in that I think it's like there are three, like, off, there are like four, like, threats against Natasha at any time. There's Roth and the government, there's the Widows, there's Taskmaster, and then there's whatever Dracov is doing. I think in an effort to give everything a bit more room, the Widows and their plight kind of gets underutilized. Because they show up in that first scene, then they don't really appear again till they're in the Red Room and dealing with Dracov, and he sends the army after them to kick her ass. And it's one of those things where none of them are really characters, none of them are really people, and they kind of disappear and reappear from the plot when they needed. I think they're an aspect of the movie that could have been tightened up more.
The best part about the Black Widows was I got to see the Sammy Ryder. I follow her on Instagram. She's like, she does martial arts. She does weapon play. She's really cool. And when, like, you just see a quick glimpse of her profile with her, like, because she have like she has an afro, and like that's her like kind of signature look, and like you can see like part of the afro, and I was like, is that who I think that is? And I like went back, I paused, I was like, that is, oh my god, that's so awesome. So yeah, big shout out to her. But yeah, other than that, it was just kind of like the Widows were kind of like the sentimental grunts were. you feel bad that they're grunts, but you understand that that's what they are in this context.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they're better than the Shield helicarriers. More strategic. Yes. Don't have to blow up an entire building and assassinate someone. Just get one of them close and put something in a drink, and now I'm a Black Widow.
But to that point, they considering that outside of when they're a giant group of them. They don't seem as effective as Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow, yeah. Or her living sister. That is just like the Winter Soldier showed up and nearly beat Captain America. Like, in straight up fight.
Ooh, do you think the Black Widows could? Avery, you think the Black Widows could beat the Dormammu? Like, who would win in that fight?
Dormammu.
Yeah.
Dormammu. They would win that fight hands down.
On top of that, their weapons are all made out of vibranium. Yeah, so
they try to block it.
Right.
Paddle their fucking wrist. I like the kill button.
But yeah. So next up, Valentine? Is it Valentine?
Okay, so
Valentine Allegra.
Yeah, Contessa de Fuck, I know this. Contessa de Valentine. Ah, fuck, I fucked up. It's a good fact, though. She's a Marvel character. She showed up in Falcon and Winter Soldier. This is her second appearance. It was supposed to be her first. They don't do a good job of introducing her here. Like, they didn't. Like, I don't know what the. Like, I've read the shit that they talked about, what this character was supposed to be, how she was supposed to introduce. I don't think they did even a better job with her introduction here than it was in that one. At least with this one, we have more context for what her main game plan is. Because this one, she just shows up at the end. It's like, in the post-credit sequence to be like, to just hint at shit that she's doing. Well, in her second appearance, canonically, which is Falcon Winter Soldier, you actually get more context of what she's trying to do. It's still vague, but you at least get more context.
Yeah.
It's become more and more clear that Julia Louise Dreyfus is she is a scene stealer. Like, she just knows how to just the smallest things, like she's blowing into her. She's like, oh, this sucks, doesn't it?
It's just a lane from Seinfeld in the Marvel Universe. It's like, like in all the jarring, like real world actors, like big celebrities you're really not expecting to see in this world, just being in this world, she just stands out with a sore thumb of like, you're not even acting like you're in this universe.
Her character's a real shitter.
Yeah.
Well, like, if you watch Veep, she's like playing the same character in Veep, too.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I actually can't wait to see more of her, because from just the snippets that we do get of her, I love her character and I love her personality so much that she's just like, ah, yeah, I see you're sitting here mourning, but I gotta blow my nose. Yeah, I mean, in terms of her appearance in this, Yeah, I think in this case you do feel the whole, okay, well, Black Widow is supposed to come out before Falcon and Winter Soldier, because in that like end credit scene, you just kind of get idea, okay, well, she's trying to position Yelena against Hawkeye
for some reason.
Yeah, and it's to me, what was weird, it was kind of like, how would she know that Hawkeye?
Let's get into the crazy parallel world that fucking Red Skull's in right now.
Let's not get into the logistics of how people know what happened at the end of Endgame. Exactly. That's one of the weird parts of WandaVision, where like it's fucking Wu and fucking Monica Rambeau and Darcy just sitting there like, oh, Captain Marvel killed up. She's the one who stopped the Blitz. And I'm like, yeah, the fuck is going on?
How would you know? Who told you?
Because I remember, and I'm confident, Avery, you remember this, but it had like the little news stuff that had, like between movies, a little fake news network that would kind of report on. They, I mean, like you would think that would be the, you know,
but the people who were at that fight were the Avengers who just went through a traumatic experience. Wakandans who aren't going to say shit about what happened. aliens who don't live here as guardians who frankly are just like only here for Thor. And then wizards who spoilers, magic is real, guys.
let's just say this. In the post-action report, Chris Evans, Captain America's been very diligent in his paperwork. So he was able to explain the whole thing, footnotes, categorize it, and publish it for everyone to know.
I can imagine Huffington Post is just like, interview. Anyone want to comment on what just happened? I just got here. I don't know what's going on, but
it's so weird.
That's strange. Yeah, move. That's strange.
Right. The fight was in the middle of nowhere. It's like random upstate New York. There's no like
the Meadowlands.
So dumb. Yeah.
It was right down the street from where they filmed Fight Club.
Yeah. I think we can wrap up these next two parts in one conversation, because we're already broaching that part. Yelena and what Black Widow means in the MCU going forward. I think, Jordan, you said that Red Guardian stole the scene. Scene every scene it was in. Now, for me, it was Florence Pugh's Yelena who stole every scene in this movie. I have a younger sister, and like when she, everything that she did to Natasha, I'm like, oh, that's so good. She's got real strong young sister energy. It was like she was not giving Natasha a single inch of life. Like, for a character who built up so much cachet of the Black Widow, it was just one character like, your shit doesn't stink. Your shit
stink. Right? Yeah.
Like, you hit shit.
Oh yeah, the power landing. That was
the power landing.
Oh my gosh! Oh man! And then when she did it, she's like,
"That's what it feels like."
Yeah.
Outside looking in, those are always good.
Like, oh, yeah. I think it, so. We were talking about how this wasn't her. This wasn't Natasha's movie. I talked about the family. I think the heart of this movie and the real main character is Yelena. In this movie's existence, and back to my earlier point of why we get this movie now. This movie's entire existence is to get everyone comfortable with, we're going to have a new Black Widow. It's probably going to be this character. If you watch this movie and you like this character, you're not going to have any problem with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like for some reason, like, what's that? The anti-Avengers are calling them the Thunderbolts or whatever.
We're either getting a Dark Avengers or Thunderbolts. It depends on who. If Thunderbolt Ross is involved, we're definitely getting Thunderbolts. But if it's just the Contessa doing something that doesn't involve him, we're maybe getting Dark Avengers, because at this point in the MCU, there aren't any Avengers.
Yeah, like they're all. I was thinking about that. Like, I was thinking about that the movie. I'm like, damn, the Virginians, they just don't exist anymore. Like, Thor is fucking around with the Guardians.
Old, and Thor is in space again. You know how hard it is to get him. Iron Man is dead. Super Black Widow is dead. Hulk
There's
might
Spider-Man.
Be, Hulk might be permanently injured. But all,
Spider-Man's gonna be hard. Yeah. Spider-Man's gonna be hard to program around.
Vision is also dead. Wanda is now a criminal because of the events of WandaVision. So literally all you have are Don Cheadle, Spider-Man, who once again is a child who everyone thinks is a mass murderer.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange is never an Avenger.
Yeah, true.
He's never an Avenger. And fucking War Machine. Those are your Avengers right now.
Yeah, Captain America and War Machine and I don't know who else that's pretty much in.
Oh, Bucky.
But then you got the Young Avengers.
We don't know what's going on. Well, that's what we think that they're leading up to. But yeah, maybe Bucky, but no. But
Bucky's busy roller skating at the black roller skate rink. That's what he's doing. He's living his best life right now.
He's too busy trying to get to become Sam's brother-in-law.
Oh, bounce! Come on, Bucky. Good job bringing that cake, my guy. You know, you do the protocol. Yeah.
I love every aspect. Like, I love every aspect of the Yelena character. I think they did such a good job of her in terms of the pathos. Her, like, it's one of those things that worked even better when I rewatched it. Like, she was, when they made that family, she was 3 years old. Yeah. When they took her away, she was six. So literally, most of her, like, development as a child was with these people. So when she's just sitting there going, she keeps mentioning, you're my sister, you're my family. And, like, everyone keeps kind of brushing it off because, oh, it was her job. And then when she breaks down and says, this was real, like, the best parts of my life was fake, and you all knew, but it was real. Yeah. I'm like, it's such a beautiful moment to anchor the film on.
That was tough. Like, I absolutely loved her performance through the entire movie. Like, there was not I didn't have a negative critique about her performance or just any of her scenes. Every time she was on scene, it was she was kind of like the focus in terms of, like, what's her reaction? Like, what is she going to say to counter Natasha? Like, what is she doing right now? And, like, she was definitely holding her own when it comes to combat as well. Like, it was just, it was awesome. Like, she did a really good job. Yeah.
Jordan?
No. Like, it's compelling sentiment to have, Yelena, because looking back on it, she had amazing moments. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, even though this was supposed to be a Black Widow story, just how everyone else around Scarlett Johansson shined, and which may speak to Scarlett Johansson's acting capabilities, but that's a whole other conversation. And the ending stinger.
I don't know if it was the acting or just the her character.
I've seen a lot of ScarJo.
Well,
yeah. I've also seen a lot of ScarJo, and there are two versions of her. There's the Hollywood, I'm going to make a movie and I'm going to play whatever role they want. And then there's I'm going to do small, quiet drama pieces where I'm like, oh, wow, she's a really talented actress who just happens to be...
Lucy.
Yes. Lucy broke me. I'm a Lupin Son film fan and apologies, and that movie broke me.
Marvel, this is possibly one of the least suspected of pathways for me to think Marvel would choose to introduce their next phase, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a weird origin story of a character that's already been established, but they've been able to MacGyver it into both its film and television in, like, this weird way. And this goes along with other stories that Marvel's not doing multi-picture deals of single actors anymore. They're getting weird with it, you know. The gloves are off, so yeah, we'll see. We'll see where Black Widow goes. You know, like, it will it be another Black Widow film? I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think it'll be another single, like, theater film. There's gonna be a prominent character, but film, I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm with you, but I do think there's a possibility. The sheer fact of that. The way Marvel is doing films now, it's no longer in the trilogy, like, 1, 2, 3, we're getting 1, 2, 3. This phase 4, as we're calling it, is the most experimental they're going to get. And I think they're going to be throwing a lot of shit in the wall to see what sticks. And that's what's going to determine what's going forward. Everyone's going to love Florence Pugh in this movie. I don't think, if she's going to have a hater, I think it's going to be one of those weird people who hate Brie Larson kind of people who can be one of her haters. I don't count them as people, so we can move on from that. But
I had I had negative comments on how they wrote Captain Marvel. But Brie Larson did say some weird things in the press circuit. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's some weird things. Her pathway of feminism is not as inclusive as you would want it to be in terms of women of color. That's what I've seen based on how she talks about certain subjects.
We can talk about this off, because that's actually a really interesting thing I want to discourse after the fact about this. But in regards to Florence and I think her acceptance, everyone's going to accept this character going forward. We know for a fact, and I've always known, because I generally pay attention to the production of Marvel. I've always known that she was going to be in Hawkeye. For me, the question of why was she going to be in Hawkeye, and from this movie in its end credit sequence, it's apparently to hunt him down for some weird fucking reason. So that's going to be interesting. And if she steals the scenes in that show, which I have no doubt that she will, especially now bouncing off of Hayley Steinfeld, who's an also great actor, and hopefully bouncing off of Jeremy Renner, who finally gets his chance to maybe show a version of the character of Hawkeye that I know and love. that people ask more for this character. It's like we weren't getting a Captain America 4 till Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a success. And then Marvel immediately went like, we're definitely not going to make it in the next 2 to 3 years because we've got our slate built out. But we have the future to go. We have the future. So we're eventually going to get that. So I feel like we're also going to be on that track with Florence Pugh's Black Widow. And we're also in a weird place where Marvel now wants television shows. Like the fact that they've already greenlit an Echo show, who the character is supposed to show up in Hawkeye before Hawkeye even comes out.
Oh wow.
Tells me that they are really in the want for television production, and we might just get a Black Widow show instead of a Black Widow movie, especially with this movie leaving off the fact that
the widows and her...
what were you doing with the widows? Her parents are still technically alive. What's going on with them?
Yeah.
And that's not even ignoring that. What is she doing with the Contessa? What grand plan is that woman putting together? Is it the Thunderbolts? Is it the Dark Avengers? There's a lot the future of Marvel is so like all the pieces are on the board, but none of it makes sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I totally agree with you in terms of all the pieces are on the board. It's just what they want to do with it. In terms of her placement in Hawkeye, and I'll say this just to wrap stuff up, but I am interested to see what her character is going to be, because they are positioning her to be kind of like, you're going to be hunting this guy or whatever. But I feel like that might not necessarily be the best for her, because we've seen her character, like when she's interacting with someone, it's just magical and she's such a funny character. And for her to be the villain, I don't necessarily know how I feel about that, because it's just like, well, is she going to be the funny villain? Like, I hope it might just be a thing where she's a villain for a bit, but then Hawkeye actually talks to her like, hey, no, like, you're getting bad information. Like, me, like, I jumped off of the cliff first, and Natasha came after me. So, like, I hope that something like that happens in the story to possibly, like, change the direction of her character if she is going down the villain route.
Interesting thing, and this is us talking about broader MCU stuff and less about Black Widow the film, is that I don't think she's going to be the villain of Hawkeye. I think she's going to be a villain in the episodic standpoint. Like, episode 4 is Black Widow, and it's like episode 3 ends with Yelena showing up and like, you killed my sister. And then episode 4 is them dealing with this whole Yelena thing, and then she's gone. I think, because Hawkeye has to serve a couple of masters. It has to be the send-off of Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye character, while at the same time making us love the Kate Bishop character and making us and then they're also going to show what he was doing as Ronin. Bunch of things. We can talk about this off screen, because let's wrap this up.
This
has been indeed a ramble, and I've rambled a lot.
Okay, well, you know, that's been our ramble for Black Widow, and as you can tell, we really enjoyed it. We just had a couple of parts where it was just like, kind of strange. It has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. That's a weird place to start the exit of this, but whatever, I did it. If you're listening to this, great. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment. That'd be great. If you're listening to this, make sure you watch this on our YouTube channel at pressxnumber2start.com/YouTube, or you can just go to YouTube YouTube.com and search press X to start TV. And that will take you to our thing as well.
Something I just realized we're getting 4 Marvel movies a year going forward.
Wow.
Like, I was supposed to be, we knew in phase 4 we were getting 3. I think the pandemic fucked up everything so much that now they're just going 4 so they can get everything announced in phase 4 done.
Wow. Well, lucky you, listener, because you get to get a lot more content from us. Until then, when those movies come out, peace.
Goodbye.